So how are you excited about It's Complicated? You know, have you noticed that they don't even want to write anything on cards anymore because they don't want to mess up and try to, you know, they wanted to leave the blank on the inside blank so you can figure out how to say your complicated things in complicated situations. But hey, happy Easter, everyone. You guys having a good day? Man, today we come to celebrate the risen Christ. My name's Mark, and I'm one of the pastors here at True North. It's truly an honor that you would join us for Easter. And in fact, I want to do something. I need your help. Would you help us welcome our online audience? And we're streaming live. We found out in a conference call this week that literally we talked with the chaplains at all 16 correctional facilities, transitional living centers. We are streaming right now on Easter in all of those correctional facilities, as well as 30 plus villages for Easter. Would you give up for those online watching right now? You know, we're here to celebrate one thing. The tomb is empty. The stone's been rolled away. Christ is risen, and how many want to know that fact changes everything? A few years ago, Apple came out with an iPhone 4. I mean, it was 6 years ago now, and they said this changes everything. How many want to know an iPhone doesn't change everything? Now, I do pray for those with Samsungs because you need extra prayer. I get that, okay? You do need to change some things. But the gospel of Jesus Christ, the fact that he's risen and the stone is not there and the tomb is empty, that changes everything. And today I want to look at a statement Jesus made in the Gospel of John. In fact, there's seven. John chronicles and John writes about the seven I am statements. They're statements. Jesus said, I am this, I am. He says, you know, I am the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. I am the bread of life. If you eat me, you'll never hunger again. I am the gate or I'm the door through which you enter. I'm the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness again. How many of you guys are glad we don't have to walk in darkness again? But today I want to look at the I am statement that best fits Easter weekend. I want to look at the I am statement found in John chapter 11, verse 25. It's on the worship guide. It's on the notes where Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die. How many want to know that that's a powerful statement to say, I am the resurrection and the life. And not just to say it, but to back it up. Because now here's a context. Some of us don't know the context. This context is in this statement is in the context of a much broader story of another guy who died but didn't stay dead. His name is Lazarus. And I'm going to look at this story today. In fact, follow along with me if you have notes or online or on the YouVersion Bible app. But John chapter 11, verse 1 says, now a man named Lazarus was sick. And when I read on, you're going to find out he wasn't just sick. He was very sick. He was going to die. And so in verse 3, it says, so the two sisters, Mary and Martha, they sent a message. I don't know if they a Facebook instant messaged him or if they texted him or FaceTimed him. I don't know. But I know this. They sent him a message telling Jesus, Lord, your dear friend is sick. This was Jesus' dear friend. Some versions say the one you love is sick. Now, I how many want to know sometimes life's going really good and then all of a sudden you get that interruption? How many want to know it's never a good time to hear that someone you love is sick? You ever gotten that call? Like, okay, now's not a good time. Especially when you live in Alaska, how many want to know when you hear that from someone in the lower 48? Like, man, it's never a good time. But the bad news in the middle of a good life. And I want to pause for a moment and acknowledge something that some of you here today, things are going really well. But there may be some of you here today who things aren't going really well. And in this season of life, you might be hurting. You might have heard similar news. You might have gotten a bad report, a bad news. The one you love is sick or the one you love has cancer, or maybe the future of your job is up in the air because of oil prices and different directives or executive orders or things like that that have come down. And so they're shutting down. Maybe the job you love is not there. Maybe Maybe you work for the school district and there's cutbacks right now, or maybe your dream marriage has turned into a nightmare. And what I think is the greatest institution on planet Earth has you feeling like you're institutionalized, stuck. Or maybe the principal called you about your teenager and it's not to say they're doing really well. What I'm talking about, some of you are like, no, I don't want to know, but yes, I know. Lord, the one you love is sick. So in the middle of this story, Jesus then in verse 4, he hears about the news, and watch what he says in verse 4. Jesus said this, but when Jesus heard about it, Lazarus' sickness, he tells his disciples, Lazarus' sickness will not end in death. No, it happened for the glory of God, so that the Son of God will receive glory. What? So that the Son of God may receive glory. Perhaps what you're going through right now, the situation that might be difficult for you, you look and go, I hate the situation, I don't like the situation, but how many want to know? God sometimes says there's a so that. There's sometimes a reason you're walking through what you're walking through. And the very thing that you would never want to happen, God's going to bring glory to himself through this situation, through the worst of news that you could ever imagine. So Mary and Martha, their son, their brother Lazarus is sick, he's dying, and Jesus is on the other end. And you know what the Bible, you know what he does? For 2 days, you know what he does? Nothing. For 2 days, he doesn't do anything. He hangs out. Meanwhile, if you read the story, and we'll kind of unpack verses 5 through 14. I'll kind of walk through it. He does nothing. Meanwhile, Thomas is freaking out. Martha and Mary are upset while Jesus is hanging out doing nothing. And then 2 days later, he says, hey, let's go back to Judea. Now, Thomas is a man full of faith. In fact, the Bible calls him Thomas the Doubter. How many guys like to hang out with people? How many guys like pessimistic people? How many guys ever met those people that you don't ask them how they're doing anymore? Because when you ask them how they're doing, you're in for like a 5 minute, like, well, you know, 5 years ago. You know what I'm talking about? So you learn to say, hey, it's good to see you. That was Thomas. But I want to look at this story because he says, let's go back and let's go see, let's go down to Judea. And Thomas is going, yeah, great, let's go. Because the last time you're there, they tried to kill us. So let's just go and die like Lazarus. And Jesus says, no, Lazarus has fallen asleep. We need to go wake him up. And then one of the disciples says, well, if he's sick and he sleeps, isn't that going to be good? He gets better. And Jesus is like, okay, you don't get it. He's sleeping right now as a metaphor. He's dead. And today I want to look at this story, and I want to look at it from three different angles. I want to look at it from three different ways, because I want to look at Lazarus's death, but more than that, I want to look at the death that sometimes is on the inside of all of us at different seasons or segments of history. And I want to look at it. I want to look at this story from Thomas's perspective, from Mary's perspective, and from Martha's perspective. And then I want to look at the end from Jesus's perspective, because he has a whole lot to say when he says, I'm the resurrection and the life. The first way I want to look at this story is I want to look at it like Thomas. Maybe some of us are dead in our doubts. We're dead in our doubts. He's doubting Thomas throughout scripture. How many would like your nickname to be Doubting Thomas? Pessimistic Perry. Downer Dawn, you know, I mean, whatever. And so he's pessimistic. He's doubting Thomas. And we see in verse 16, Thomas, who's known as Didymus, everyone, say Didymus. Now, maybe you're pregnant in this place and you haven't picked your son's name out. Didymus is a great one not to name your son. Write down one name I'm not using, okay? My last name, Zweifel, means doubt or onion in Swiss. How many want to know that stinks? Seriously. Oh, I doubt I'd name. Okay. Names mean, but Thomas, known as Didymus, he's sarcastic. And when Jesus says, let's go back to Judea, he goes, let's just go down there that we might die with him also. I mean, let's just go die. I mean, let's, you know, that's, how many want to hang out with a friend like that? Let's go to the movies. Let's go die tonight. I'm curious on Easter weekend, how many of you would be honest to raise your hands or say, Mark, I've had spiritual doubt in my life. Anyone raise your hand, say, I've had spiritual doubts before. Now, if you didn't raise your hand, just shine up your little halo, okay? And we'll just, you know, we'll realize that, you know, you're perfect and the rest of us had our hands up, okay? But honestly, there's times where doubt hits us. And there's circumstances that happen and we're caught in the crossways. We're bombarded with these doubts and we pray and we pray and believe God and boom, nothing happens and doubts come. And I think the enemy loves to put doubt in our minds, doubt in our hearts. How many ever had hopes and just had them crashed and the doubts are there and you're like, oh. And maybe you're here and you grew up with a real simple faith, but then in freshman biblical lit class, you learned you were told by your professor that the stuff that you believed in doesn't really happen. It never happened. It wasn't real. It was just a figment of people's imaginations. And you started doubting your faith and thinking like, well, you know, in fact, it's a normal thing for teenagers to get to a place where their minds go through puberty. And they start asking in questions like, is it really, do I believe what I really believe? Or do my parents just force feed it to me? And maybe there's those doubts in your mind, or maybe you believed in God for something really bad and you prayed and prayed and prayed. And I remember praying with all of my heart, believing God for a miracle for my grandmother who had leukemia and she still died. And then the devil comes in and says, well, if God is real, he's all powerful, he can stop it, but he didn't stop it. And maybe you're skeptical with your faith concern and you're full of doubts and you feel halted and paralyzed and it's hard to believe. And here's Thomas who's going, yeah, let's just go down there and die with Jesus. Let's go. Woo! He's dead in his doubts. He's paused. He's paralyzed. There might be some of you in here today that are paused and paralyzed with doubt. And you don't know if this faith thing or this Jesus thing is really real. And I'm here to say it's real. You can't believe everything you feel. If you don't remember junior high, can't trust your feelings. How many know? Yeah, how many want to know that the seat of your feelings, the heart? How many want to know your heart will, your feelings will lie to you? In fact, the Bible says that your heart is deceitfully wicked. Who can know it? In other words, the seat of your emotions is deceitful. It'll lie. You can't trust your emotions. That's why when a little junior high girl says, I found the love of my life, you're thinking, no, you didn't. Or maybe some of you are like Mary, not doubting Thomas today, but you're like Mary. And like Mary, some of you are dead in your discouragement. If you read this story, you know, you're not dead in doubts, but you're living with a heaviness of discouragement. And in fact, you know, in Fairbanks, Alaska, where we live, that we actually lead the nation in scholarly research when it comes to seasonal depression. And there's a heaviness that sometimes comes over people and you just don't see anything good happen. You can't seem to get a breakthrough. You can't seem to get a break and it's tough to get your chin off your chest. And here's Mary's discouragement. How we know it? Because in John 11 verse 20, Jesus gets to Judea. It takes a couple days for him to get there. And it says when Mary or Martha got word that Jesus was coming, she went to meet him, but Mary stayed in the house. She didn't go. What did Mary do? She stayed home. Why bother? My brother's already dead. I don't need to go out there. I mean, he's already dead. There's nothing he can do right now anyway. But maybe some of you are at that place right now where you're in a season of discouragement. You're in the season where the cloud is over you. And I can't change anything. I'm always gonna feel this way. I'm gonna be depressed the rest of the time. I'm always gonna be stuck in a dead-end job. I'm never gonna have a marriage that I dreamed of having. And maybe you just kind of feel in a rut. You know what a rut is? A grave with both ends knocked out. And you're just stuck. And you're discouraged. And let's break that word discouraged about Courage has been dissed out of your life. You don't have courage to kind of get up and go, life's worth living. Let's go meet Jesus, even though difficult things happen, but you can't get past the past. You know the difference between a stumbling block and a stepping stone is? How high you lift your foot. But when you're discouraged, you don't even want to get out of bed sometimes. You don't want to lift up past the challenges. And maybe some of you are there right now, and it's Easter, and you kind of, the miracle of the parking lot happened. You know what that is, right? I remember we go to church, and I mean, on my house, getting ready for church was like a big chore. The chore that happened after the farm chores. We milked about 250 cows and a family farm. Didn't have any hired men. Us boys were the free hired men. And we would do the chores, and we'd get in, and we'd try to wash the smell of the barn off your hands. Anyone know, remember? I don't know if any of you grew up on a farm, but I went to school sometimes smelled more like the barn than the barn smelled like the barn. You get things on your hands and silage or cow manure. And we'd get home from doing chores on Sunday, and we'd wash up and we'd try to scrub that smell off, and we'd show up for church. And I could tell you what happened. Inevitably, we had to share the bath water because we didn't have showers back then. We were too broke to do that. And so we'd run a bath water and two or three of us would take it. And then one of us would be lucky enough to have enough time to clean, like let the old water out and have new water. But that meant we had to dress real quick, and so one of us was gonna be late to the car, and then we're fighting over who's gonna sit in the back of the seat. And then my dad's like, shut up, boys! You know, I don't know what it's like when you come to church, but in my house, there was something that happened in that car ride from the house to church, which almost made like church was like really important for our family that day, you know? Like, mom and dad, you need church, and so do my brothers. We fight the whole way to church, but then we pull into the church parking lot and the miracle happens. My dad gets out after being upset, almost cussing us, nothing bad. He goes, oh, how you doing, brother? Oh, I'm blessed God. He's risen, risen indeed. Hallelujah. What happened? And I'm thinking like, Dad, you need to believe that right now. And not fake it right now. You know what I'm talking about? And maybe that's you. Life shows up and you get to the church parking lot and everything's perfect, but you know when you drive away, you go back to the same place where there's that pit in the bottom of your gut. And you know, life's stuck. Maybe you're dead in his doubts today, and it's hard to believe that the risen Savior's risen because you feel like everything else. You just can't see it, the doubt. And maybe you're dead in discouragement today. Or maybe like Martha, you're dead in his delay. You know God can, but he hasn't or didn't. And God took too long. Jesus, you know, had he come back earlier, had he showed up when the text message sent out or the Facebook notification. But in John chapter 11, verse 17, it says, when Jesus arrived at Bethany, he was told that Lazarus had been already dead in the grave for 4 days. 4 days. Now, you might not think that's a big deal, but in that culture, now, this isn't what the Bible teaches. This isn't biblical belief. It's not Christian belief. But they had a folklore or superstition that when someone died, the spirit of that dead body would hover around that body for 3 days. Not a biblical belief, but it was a folklore superstition. And so when Jesus doesn't show up till the 4th day, see, in Martha's mind, Lazarus wasn't just mostly dead. It's the 4th day. Now, if you've ever watched Princess and Bride, this is for you fans. He was all the way dead. He was dead, dead. Anyone know what I'm talking about? He was dead and then some. He wasn't like, I mean, there was no hope for him. And just to make sure you know exactly how dead he was, Martha describes to Jesus, and thank the Lord for the King James Version, it's the best. Because in the King James Version, the translators described Lazarus as, Martha's words as, he surely stinketh by now. I love that. Like he's a holy stink. I don't know how to dance, but he's stanky. The King James says he stinketh. He was dead for 4 days. The spirit's gone, dead, mostly dead. He, not mostly dead, stinketh, he's dead. And Martha said to Jesus, if you had been here, my brother wouldn't have died. How many of you have ever been in a place like that? Jesus, if you would have showed up when I asked you to show up. So she's living with this, and she's got a, you know, in other words, you took way too long. You didn't show up when we needed it, and now it's too late. And you feel dead in your delay. You've been waiting for an unanswered prayer. Maybe you're young. Maybe you're a single gal in this room, and you've been waiting for that perfect knight in shining armor. And you do what's right, and all your girlfriends go out and they go clubbing or bar hopping, and they do the jiggy jig, and you ain't doing the jiggy jig, and they get their guy, and you're the bridesmaid, and you're going, how come I'm doing everything right? And can I say jiggy jig in church? Some of you look nervous out there. I don't know if you're nervous for me or nervous for, like, am I in this type of church right now? He just said jiggy jig. I said it, yeah. But you know, how many of you guys do it? Or maybe you're a married couple and you've been praying to God for a baby and you haven't conceived, and you have friends that when they look at each other, she's so fertile like Myrtle, she gets pregnant. When they look at each other, have triplets, and you're like, what is wrong with me? And there's this thing like, man, I'm serving God, I'm praying, I'm in life groups, I'm serving, and how come it doesn't happen for me? You pray for loved ones to experience the goodness of God, and you believe God, and the more you pray, it seems like the farther they run from God, and you're going like, what? I'm doing everything. God, why are you taking so long? God, why is it so hard and so difficult? And if that's you today, I hope that this will speak to you, that you'll never, don't ever think that God's delays are his denials. Just because God hasn't done something doesn't mean God's still not sovereign, and God's still not in charge, and God still isn't the ruler of planet Earth. And the Bible says the government of the world rests upon his shoulders. Just because you don't see things right now the way you want them to look does not mean God is not sovereign and God is not in charge of the known universe. This year for Easter, I thought, you know, I want to, you know, I'm typically an ebook guy. I was an early adapter, and so I bought an iPad. You know, I got the old Kindle version, then I got the iPad, and I read e-Bible a lot. But this year, I thought for Easter, I'm going to go old school and get my tree Bible out. And so as I'm studying Lazarus' story, what's so powerful is Genesis, or excuse me, John chapter 11 on my Bible starts. All the bad stuff happens on page 1739. Lazarus, you know, he gets sick, as he gets sick, they send a message, and then he dies, and Thomas is, and Jesus says, hey, let's go wake him up, he's asleep, and let's go wake him up, and Thomas goes, oh, great, let's go back to Bethany and die with you, and all the bad stuff happens on 1739, but when you flip the page over, here's the verse, where Martha says this, but I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask. How many want to know You can be dead in your doubts, dead in your discouragement, dead in the delay, but there's an even now type of faith that God wants to raise up inside of you to go, it might have been difficult in the past, but even now, my God has power to turn things over. There's a 1,740 after 1,739. Some of you got to turn the page and realize there's a brand new day. That's what the resurrection of Jesus was. Everything's on one page, but he flipped the page because there's a brand new part of the story he wants to unpack. Even now when you're discouraged, the presence of God can come build your faith. Even now when you feel all alone, you feel like you're no one understands. The presence of the Holy Spirit can give you a peace that passes all understanding to guard your heart and your mind. Even now, God can reach into your jacked up family. The family that's hijacked your hope. And God can put some fun back in dysfunction. And God can heal. Even now, when everything looks impossible, we serve a God who says all things are possible. It's not by power, not by might. Even now when your heart is cold and callous and you're far from God and think, how could God love me? And how could God understand? Even now, God can soften your heart and draw you into his presence and transform you from the inside out. Even now. Even now, when there's something that's dead, past life, Jesus can reach down and bring that which is dead back to life. And that's what he did. Jesus told Martha, Martha, Jesus says, your brother will rise again. And Martha said, I know he will because of the resurrection of the last days. And then he says, no, Martha, he will rise when everyone else rises at the last day. But Jesus said, but I'm the resurrection and the life. Anyone who believes in me will live even after dying. He didn't say, I'm able to resurrect. He said what? I am the resurrection and the life. And the one who believes in me, even though they die, yet they'll live. Jesus is saying, I am the resurrection and the life. Friends, that should cause us to kind of have something on the inside of our inner Bubba go, woo! Our ecclesiastical new dad should go up and down our spine. Our gospel goose pimple should pop up off our arms and realize, oh my goodness. See, here's the deal. Write this down. The resurrection is not an event. It's a person. On the church, well, come, it's Resurrection Sunday. No, friends, it's Resurrection Sunday every day because the resurrection is not an event. It's a person. Jesus rose from the dead. I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will never, 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 never die. Dead things don't stay dead when the resurrection walks into the room. I love this story. Lazarus surely stinketh. He's dead. And Jesus looks at the disciples and says, roll the stone away. And then I love what it says. Jesus shouted in verse 43. Jesus shouted. Now, why did he shout? I don't know if dead people can hear. I don't know. I don't know if when they start to stink, they can't hear. I don't know when that timeline is, but I know this. He shouted, Lazarus, come out. And the dead man came out, his hands and feet bound in grave's clothes, his face wrapped in a headcloth. Jesus told them, unwrap him and let him go. Jesus called in a loud voice. I want to contrast this story with the one where Jesus was in a tomb. Both were in a tomb. Both had stones blocking it. Lazarus is dead in a tomb. There's a stone blocking it. And Lazarus says to his disciples, roll the stone away. When Jesus rose on Easter Sunday, the women go to the tomb and they're like, who's gonna roll the stone away? But there was no stone there because the stone had been rolled away. How many of you wanna know that you might feel dead on the inside? You've lost your faith, your hope. You're dead in your delay, discouragement, or doubt. You might feel trapped in a tomb. But here's what I wanna say. Jesus Christ is a specialist in rolling tombs away from dead things and bringing those dead things back to life. And on Easter, I want to remind you that he rolled the stone away. In a loud voice, he said, Lazarus, come forth. Come out. And then he told his disciples, unwrap him. I don't know what it is that's had you so wrapped up in your death and you don't feel like you can get out and you feel like what you're living in stinks right now, but I'm here to say there's one person named Jesus. If he did it once, he can do it again. He doesn't do it as an event, he does it as a life. He came to resurrect dead things back to life. The resurrection is not what he does, it's who he is. Easter is because for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. Maybe you're here today and you are far from God. I don't know your story. I don't know your situations. I don't know if you're full of doubt and a skeptic. I don't know if there's discouragement so heavy. It's hard to get your chin up in the morning and roll out of bed. I don't know if you feel like you've asked God for miracles and it's just been a delay after delay after. I don't know, but I know this. There's only one God who can take you out of where you're at and give you life like nobody else. His name's Jesus. Now, here's what I know. If you're listening right now or listening online or you're listening on CBS, here's what I know. I know this. There's an expiration date on the milk carton of every one of our lives. There was a day you did not exist, but from the moment you were conceived and your mother's womb and the Lord knit you together inside that womb, there'll never be a day now you won't exist. You're eternal beings. We'll spend eternity either with God or separated from God. The Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Why? Because Jesus was buried in a tomb and 3 days later rose victorious over death, hell, and the grave. And he sits at the right hand of God the Father right now. And the reason we don't have to stay dead in our sin is because Jesus came to forgive us of our sins. There's 3 ways to know for sure we go to heaven. A, we have to admit we've sinned. We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life. A, admit. B, believe that Jesus died on the cross for our sins. He had to die to be buried and resurrected, but he died because he took our sins upon the cross. Our sins put him on the cross. Our sins killed him. And he came to forgive us of our sins. A, admit, B, believe, and C, confess. The Bible says if you confess Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised from the dead, you'll be saved. Not saved from taxes, not saved from challenging times, saved from the sin that separates us from Jesus. If you're in this auditorium or you're listening online right now and you've never made a faith commitment to Jesus, I'm the resurrection of life, and all who believe in me will never, never, never die. He'll give life. We all have an expiration date on the milk carton of our life. We're not promised tomorrow, but here's what I know. We do know that tomorrow, where we'll be when we die, if we have a relationship with Jesus. If you're listening today, wherever you're at, you've never made a commitment to Jesus. Don't let your doubts keep you from him. Don't let your discouragements keep you from him. Don't let the times you feel like God's delayed. God is here now, and now is the time to make a decision. Wherever you're at, would you bow your heads and close your eyes if you're in the auditorium watching online? You've never made a faith commitment to Jesus, but tonight or today you want to. Just pray this prayer silently as I pray it out loud. Dear Jesus, I admit I've sinned. And I believe you died on the cross to forgive me. Please forgive me today. Please be my Savior and my life leader. I confess you as the Lord of my life today. I repent and turn from my wicked ways. I turn and I say, Jesus, please help me serve you the rest of my life. Lord, I thank you for Easter. I thank you that the tomb is empty, the stone's been rolled away, and our Savior is alive. We thank you that our resurrection life help us live knowing that dead things don't stay dead when you walk in the room. We thank you for that in Jesus' name. Church, God loves you. I love you. And there's nothing you can do about it. God bless. See you next week for It's Complicated.